All right, we are back with Polly Schneider and Carl Schneider and me, Schneider. And
what's your name?
And my name is Oliver Schneider. And we will just be talking about Polly's life in Long Beach.
And what's the date today?
The date is September 29th, 2018, Saturday.
Okay.
And first, let's talk about the hotel that we're looking at right now. Can you tell me a little bit about that hotel?
Okay, I will tell you about that hotel. That hotel is called, I don't know what it's called. It's in King Harbor.
Portofino.
Portofino Hotel, right. And it's over there. It looks out on the entrance to the harbor. And there was a big storm in 1981-82, the winter. It was an El Nino storm. And it came and it washed a bunch of those rocks on that rock wall up onto the parking lot. Clear across the entrance onto the parking lot. Those are big rocks, by the way. And then it washed boats off the moorings that are out there up onto that parking lot. So I've got some pictures of that parking lot full of boats and rocks that got wrecked. And then the other side of the hotel got all the windows broken. It was kind of fun, actually, to see Mother Nature at work.
It was fun to see the hotel get destroyed?
Well, I kind of don't mind if it's Mother Nature, because there's nothing we can do about it.
All right, ask some follow-up questions, or we could switch to Long Beach.
Okay, why don't we switch to Long Beach, because that's going to be the title.
Oh, the title is Long Beach. Well, what do you want to know about Long Beach? That's interesting. Are you prepared for this?
When did you first start living there?
Were
you born there?
When I was born on December 26th, 1929, was when I was actually living there for 9 months before that.
Okay, and your parents lived there a long time before you were born?
Oh, my mom and dad were kids, well, youngsters. My mom moved to Southern California. My mom was born in San Francisco. Okay, but then they went to South America for about 12 years with her dad because he was a mining engineer and he worked down there.
Was that Bolivia or what country?
Well, they were in Bolivia, they were in Chile, they were in Peru. They were all along they were in all over South America.
Back then, that was a huge trip.
It was on a ship, for one thing. You didn't just hop a plane and fly down there.
So it must have taken a month to get there.
How long did that ship cruise take?
I don't know how long that would take. I remember my mom loved the oatmeal that the chef in the galley had for the passengers. She used to tell me about this wonderful oatmeal. He kept it cooking the whole time they were gone. And every time he would just add some more oatmeal to it, because that's what they served everybody for breakfast, was oatmeal. And because of that, I've always loved oatmeal. Okay, so they were on the ship. I've got pictures of them on the ship. I'm not sure what the name of it was, but you know what? I could probably get it off the passenger list of people coming up from South America. Oh, they went down on the ship too. Right. I'll look up the names of the two ships. There was a ship, by the way, speaking of ships, that used to go from Long Beach to San Francisco. And my mom and dad, when I was a little tiny girl, took me on that ship to San Francisco to meet my grandma. There was a grandma that lived up there. I think she was a great-grandma. She was a great-grandma. She was my grandpa's mother. Grandma, I don't know her name, Grandma Lamb, I guess, another Grandma Lamb. And so we went up there to visit the family that lived in San Francisco on this ship. You couldn't fly up there. Why couldn't you fly, Oliver?
All the flights were booked?
All the flights were booked.
There were no airplanes in those days.
Why?
Why? What? Take a guess.
When did the Wright brothers invent? the flying plane.
Well, have you ever been to LAX?
When did the Wright brothers invent a plane?
Well, it was invented, but there weren't commercial
flights. You couldn't fly on that thing. They were only in the air for 24 seconds.
Okay.
You can get to San Francisco in 24 seconds?
Let's keep talking about...
How would you get to San Francisco in a plane in 24 seconds?
Okay, you guys, let's talk
Turbo
about...
Turbo speed.
Get back to the topic.
All right, get back to the topic.
Okay. I was born in Long Beach at Long Beach Community Hospital, and my grandma lived with us in those days, and when I came home, everybody was really happy that I was there, and I have a picture. My mom was 22, and my dad was 22 when I was born. They were just children themselves, but they were very glad they got me, because they used to tell me that all the time, how glad they were they got me, and...
You're the oldest of your brothers?
I'm the oldest, and about a year and a half later, Dot was born. And so we had two little babies in the family. And I can remember one time when Mom and Daddy wanted to go. They liked to go out to Palm Springs. They liked the desert. And they were going to go on a trip to the desert, and they left me home with Grandma. And I cried and cried at the window. I looked out the window when they were leaving, and I screamed and cried because I didn't want them to leave. But it was okay. I survived.
And then when was your brother born?
Well, my brother was born 9 years later. Almost 10. 9 years later. He's 10 years younger than me. And he was the most adorable thing. I adored him. He was so cute, and he got real curly hair. And when he was three, he used to climb the ladder into the bunk where I slept and cuddle into bed with me every morning before I got up.
And you guys lived in pretty much like a palace in Long Beach, right?
Oh, yeah. We had this huge three-story mansion in Long Beach. We had a cardboard shack in Long Beach. We lived in this cardboard. It used to be a construction shack. And my dad, my grandma, my dad's mom, had worked as a babysitter, a nanny, for a family that had some money, apparently. And the little girl that she cared for started choking on something, and Grandma got the thing out of her throat and saved her life. At least that's what the family thought. And because of that, they let Grandma have one of the lots they owned. They sold it to her for $500. And that was the lot that we lived on in the construction shack.
It was literally just a shack made out of like
it was made out of
cardboard or something.
It was,
right?
It was a wood chips pushed together, made into a sort of a wallboard kind of stuff.
And there was no insulation.
There was no insulation, and one time Daddy got mad and threw a cabbage right through the wall.
Oh my God, a cabbage.
Well, he was a young guy. He was just a youngster. No wonder he got upset. He had two little kids and a grandmother, a mother to take care of. It wasn't easy. He told me one time that he wanted to join the Navy, but he couldn't because he had to take care of so many people. And it was his mother at first, because he wanted to join the Navy when he was 18. And he had his mother to take care of. And she was, that's why he told us, Dot and me mostly, that we absolutely had to learn to type and take shorthand. Because we had to have a way to earn our living, but his mother spent her whole life cleaning other people's houses and taking care of their children. And we had to learn to, we had to be able to get a job. And so we did. We were all teachers, but he never expected that much of any of us.
So then what happened to his dad?
His dad... his dad ran a speakeasy.
Was that illegal at the time?
It was illegal, right. It was during Prohibition, and it was in Colorado. Not Denver, but some other place in Colorado.
This is at the time that you were in Long Beach?
No, this was before they moved to Southern California. He and his wife, my grandma, they split up, and he sent, oh, that's such an interesting story. Wait a minute, I'm going to sneeze. Jesus.
Did you get that?
Okay. Daddy had a terrible allergy. He was always had asthma. And so the doctor said they should move to California because that's where you got over those things because the weather was so good.
From Colorado? So he grew up in Colorado.
Yeah, he was born in Pueblo.
Okay.
Pueblo.
And so Grandma, and he had two sisters who were a few years older than him. And so she took the neighbor girl as a helper. And the neighbor girl, whose name I can't remember right now, went with him and lived with him as a mother's helper. And they moved first to Venice, California, or Santa Monica. Then they moved over to Long Beach, okay? And my dad used to talk all the time about this girl that helped them. Because she was like another mother to him. And one day, my mom, who worked at the schools in Long Beach as a secretary, came home and she said, "You'll never guess what happened. I heard the name of the woman that was the playground lady at my school, and it was the same name as the helper girl that came here from Colorado with your dad." And I went out and talked to her, and sure enough, it was her. And so she and this woman, the woman who had been a girl at the time, had many memories of how she helped our grandma with all the three girls. The three kids, the one of the girls was in a wheelchair because she fell off of a horse.
This is your dad's...
Sisters.
Okay. Right. So these are your aunts.
These were my aunts, right, but I never knew them.
Oh.
Because Grandma was a Christian Scientist, and that meant she didn't believe in going to doctors.
This is Grandma Lamb.
No, Grandma Seeley.
Oh, Grandma Seeley.
Alice.
Okay.
Grandma Alice. Okay. She wouldn't take those girls to doctors, and they both died.
Wow. When they were young?
20s.
So did your dad, my grandpa, resent that, or?
Oh, that's why he gave up religion.
Oh,
he hated religion. He hated it. He believed that because of religion, his two sisters had died, and he didn't believe in it anyway. And
so, but was he mad at your grandma for that too?
But he loved her, and she used to, every Sunday she used to spend the whole day listening to God on the radio. That's the way he talked about it. He'd say, "Oh, she's got God on in there again." It was some minister preaching on the radio.
And what about your grandma? Where was she now?
That was her.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That was her. So she lived with us until I was 16, and she died of some terrible thing that she wouldn't go to the doctor about, or she probably, it was high blood pressure is what she had. And
so it could have been easily treated.
Easily treated. She could have lived to be 100 years old.
I wonder if she ever wore glasses.
I don't remember her ever wearing glasses.
And I don't know what their Christian Scientist, wait, you said she was Christian Scientist? I wonder what, I don't know what their policy is on that, but that's kind of would contradict their.
Oh yeah, they didn't believe in any help. That God was going to take care of everything.
Yeah.
So she died, and we went to a funeral home and had a little family ceremony. And when my dad got up to talk about his mother, his voice cracked. He was so upset. And I started to cry. I was 16. And it was my grandma. I'd grown up with her. I loved her. I couldn't believe it. It was the first person I'd ever known who died. And I started to cry, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and they couldn't get me to stop, and I got hysterical, and they had to take me out and put me in the car. And then when my dad got through and my grandma was there from San Diego, we had to drive all the way to San Diego to shut me up and to take grandma home. So that was the end of that. First funeral I'd ever been to. It wasn't really a religious funeral. It was just a family get together.
And your grandpa was still around at this time?
Well, no, he was in San Francisco one time when I was 15.
Oh, because they were split up.
They split up. They never got back together. I don't know that they must have divorced because he was remarried. And my dad never saw him except for one time. And he took us the first time that the family ever went camping. And it's the first time I ever saw a redwood tree. And we drove, there were no freeways in those days, and we drove to, we drove to San Francisco, but we stopped along the way. He rented a little teeny teardrop trailer, and we stopped at a campground, so I'm imagining it must have been in Santa Cruz, because that's where I saw that's the first place you see redwood trees, and there's campgrounds in Santa Cruz. And we stopped there for the night. And the trailer had a little stove, so we cooked our meal, and I loved camping from that moment on. And so the next day we drove on to San Francisco, and we met my grandpa, and Daddy wanted us to all meet him.
Is this the first time you met him?
First and last.
Okay. And do you remember?
I remember it. I was 15, yeah, but I also remember that we went for a weekend, a long weekend, and Monday night was the dance that we always went to at the lagoon, the canteen dance for teenagers. And so I had my hair in curlers the whole time.
To get ready for that?
Yeah.
On the drive back?
No, I had them in, I put them in curlers before we left, and I had them in curlers the whole time till we got home and I could go to the dance.
So for days you had curlers?
Days, I had curlers in my hair.
Did you sleep with curlers in your hair?
Yeah, slept with it, everything, so I would have curly hair for the dance.
Wow.
That's what a 15-year-old does, a crazy teenage 15-year-old.
So then...
I don't remember anything about that grandfather. I remember going into his house. I remember meeting him and Butch Oliver, my little brother, was there. He must have been 5.
What part of San Francisco was this?
I don't know. But I know I have the address because I looked it up on the census, and the address is on the census, so I could figure it out probably. But the guy, you know, you can imagine. Okay, here's my dad, a fairly young man still, and he wants his dad to see his nice family, his three kids, and he gets there, and we're only there for a little while. And then he's gone. That's the first and last time he saw his dad since he was a kid.
Was his dad
awful?
Was his dad nice to you?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, he was kind of an old guy, and I don't know that he even knew how to talk to all of us. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You visited for one day or what?
Went one afternoon into the evening.
And that was it.
And that was it. It's a sad story now that I think about it.
I never even heard you talk about him.
That was it. I never really knew the guy.
Yeah.
Today, this is what would happen. We would be kids who would fly to visit our grandparent, you know?
Well, you could...
Or talk to him on the phone.
Well, you could also email.
Or email him. We didn't do any of those things when Alice left. Okay, Alice, my friend Alice. I knew her since before I remember, I was a tiny baby. She lived right across the railroad tracks in Long Beach. They were as poor as we were. She lived with her mom and her brother in a little shacky house. Might still be there. I know it was, I've seen it since then, but I don't know if it's still there. And they had a fig tree that grew up over the house. And we used to climb up and sit on the roof and eat figs all day long.
Probably not all day long.
Well, it seemed like we spent a lot of time up on that roof. And Matt was her brother. And Matt was something was, he was disabled. He was mentally disabled in some way. And so the war started, and they were so poor, and they were so religious. And Myrtle, the mom, finally, when the war started, my mom hired Myrtle to babysit with Carl. Well, no, that's not right. With Butch, Oliver, my brother. He was a little guy. He was born in 39, and the war started in 41, so he was still a baby. And so Myrtle, she paid Myrtle to babysit Butch. And Myrtle was very, very, very religious. And they belonged to a church where they went every single Sunday, no matter what. And sometimes she would take me and Dot. And my dad got so furious at the church because Myrtle was one of the members who they could totally depend on forever, and she even gave money. What's happening?
Nothing. Okay. We're listening. Keep talking.
To the church, my dad called the minister one day, and he—I'll never forget it. I heard him talk to the minister. He told the minister that this woman and her kids were starving to death. They were so poor they had no money for food, and they were giving money to the church, and the church wasn't helping them at all. And where was Jesus when this happened?
And what happened?
The next day they got a big box of stuff from the church.
Or from Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was some holiday. I don't know if it was Christmas. Maybe he called them before Christmas. I don't know. I told Alice that story not too long ago, and she said she remembered getting that big box from the church, and there was a dress in it for her, but it was some kind of a flimsy-looking lace dress that she, the minute they washed it, it fell apart. Alice had an interesting life. Her dad, oh my gosh, he was such a genius woodworker.
Oh wait, is this Alice Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, so, her, but were they religious?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh yeah, I remember meeting her, and then it seemed like her last name was...
Her name was Lord, right. Well, her name was Alice Wood, but her first husband was Lord. Okay. And he wasn't, he told me one time, he said, I just do it to make her happy. She was 17 when she got married, and he was the principal of the school. He was not as young as her.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice, you know, she's still religious even to this day. She's very religious, but that's okay. She married, when Al died, she married another guy who was a retired minister. And between them, they have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so many they can't even count them all.
We used to visit her, right, in Washington?
Well, yeah, and I've seen her recently. In fact, she called me the other day. When we went, the last time Angus and I went up to Seattle, Barbara and Martin, my friends up there, came and met us at a, I think it was a cheesecake factory or some kind of restaurant.
I want cheesecake.
Alice and Mel met us there, and we had a nice meal together, all of us. And that was the last time I saw Alice, but she called me the other day because she has a grandson who just got his PhD in astrophysics.
Oh, that's good.
And he wants to get in touch with Zachary.
How,
Because he's interested in educating kids about with the computer.
I wonder if the grandson's religious.
Astrophysics? I doubt it.
Yeah, and those don't usually go together, but...
Right. But that's okay. Alice, you know, she accepts them all. Alice is a good woman. She and I had a great talk the other day. It was just out of the blue that she called me to find out how her grandson could get a hold of Zachary.
Oh.
So I told her, the last thing I told her was to have her grandson Google him, because you can Google Zachary and you can learn more about him than you ever wanted to know and more.
Who is Zachary?
Who is Zachary? Okay, listen carefully. Do you have any idea who he might be?
I know who he is, but the listeners
don't. Oh, you know who he is. Okay, Zachary is my grandson. My other grandson. Another grandson besides you. Okay, he's your older grandson. He's 20.
He's my cousin.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
But he's my grandson.
But he's my cousin.
That's right. He's your cousin. Okay, good. Okay. Now, do you ever write to him? Do you ever email him?
Nope.
Well, it's time you did. It's fun. Okay, anyway, Zachary's going to be going to Russia soon.
What city?
I don't know. Maybe next month.
What city?
Moscow.
Moscow?
Uh-huh.
Moscow?
Maybe St. Petersburg. Maybe I'm not quite sure. Okay, so...
Who's flying him out to Russia?
Alice and I have been... When the war came along, Myrtle had a bunch of relatives up in the Seattle area. And so she decided that... They convinced her that she should move back up there where all the relatives were. And so when she moved, she took Alice and Matt, and it broke my heart. My heart was broken. Alice was like more than a sister to me. Alice and I were always together. And I never got over it because my mom, your grandma, kept in touch with Myrtle all those years. They didn't call on the phone. They didn't do that. They actually wrote letters to each other, real letters.
You mean like virtual on the computer?
No, I mean like by the pen and a piece of paper and a stamp.
That's not possible.
Well, those were 3D printed, right?
Anyway, they kept in touch all these years. And so my mom called me one night and said, Polly, Alice is going to be in town. I got a letter from Myrtle, and Alice is coming through. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Myrtle died. And because she died, Alice wanted to come back and visit her childhood home. Lots of people have that feeling they want to do it after their parents die.
I want to do it.
Okay, so... Mama said she's going to come over and visit you. I told her how to get there. So the next thing I knew, I heard a voice coming up the stairs. I lived in the same house then that I live in now. And her voice sounded exactly like it did when she was a kid. And we started talking in the middle of the sentence that we ended up talking before she left Long Beach.
Was I home? When was this?
You probably were home.
So
right.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Like and just somebody all of a sudden was talking. You're like, oh my God.
Herb took her husband Al, down to the boatyard and showed him the boat. He was building the boat. Sure, you were a little guy. And
Were we living on Hill Street or Ardmore?
Ardmore.
So this had to be like right after we moved to Ardmore, because I think we launched the boat pretty soon after
you
that.
Were seven when we launched the boat.
I think I was 10, but we have a disagreement about that. But, okay.
No.
10.
You were 7.
10.
Okay, well, we can agree to
that.
We can figure it out later.
You got any money?
No, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I was 10, but we can figure it out later.
I will put my reasoning in.
If I was 7, then we only lived in the house for 1 year, because we moved there when I was 6.
I know we did, and that's very possible.
Let me give my reasoning why I think he was 10.
Why do you think he was 10?
Because I don't think Grandpa Herb would start building the boat right when he was born.
He did, actually. It took 7 years, and your dad...
Was 10 when it
was
launched.
A little well,
how old was I when we moved to Hill Street?
4. No, Hill Street?
Yeah, or I wasn't born yet.
No, you were born there.
Okay, anyway, let's go back to the rest of your story.
Okay, so Alice and I kept track. It was Herb and Al, they got along fine. They had fun together talking about the boat and all
and
that.
That was when he first met him, right?
Yeah, and Herb was great with people he just met. He always was, you know, he did good. So the next thing, we went up to visit them. And over the years, we saw them quite a few times up there. Then Al died, and then Alice remarried, and she married Mel. And so we even continued. One time we went up there when Al was still alive, and we visited them, and we Al took us on a whole complete sightseeing tour of the whole area up there. He was wonderful. He was the principal and the superintendent of the local schools.
I remember their house was right next to the high school, right?
No.
I think so.
It was
not
on,
right next, but
no,
like a,
yeah,
just
it was
a block
near.
Away.
Well, yeah, it was everything.
And I remember that high school track was right there.
You
and
do?
The high school track had a special surface. It was like a rubber.
Oh yeah.
A rubber asphalt.
Something brand new.
It was a new thing because it was a new track, and Dad was so impressed with that because it helped. You know, he could understand how.
Oh
the,
yeah.
How the runners and their cleats would dig in. It would help them.
Right.
And he was explaining it to me, and I remember.
That's exactly right. The high school was right there, and Al was the superintendent of schools. So, you know, that was also, there was a, they bussed kids in from all over the area because it was like, you know, like farmland. It was Ilwaco was the name of the town they lived in.
Ilwaco.
It was just Waco.
It was Waco.
It's Ilwaco.
Was it Ilwaco or Waco?
Ilwaco.
Okay, Ollie.
Okay, now. He took us to this place where Lewis and Clark.
Okay, I'm going to. We don't have a lot of time left, and we have but we can keep talking, but I'm going to drive.
Oh, well.
While you're talking.
No, Dad, that's not going
to
work.
He took us to this. What?
Yeah, you can do that. Just buckle your seatbelt.
He took us. One of the places he took us was Fort Clatsop, which is right where the Columbia River comes out to the Pacific Ocean. And it's where Lewis and Clark spent the winter after they went clear across the country.
Okay.
And it was a replica of the original fort that was named after the Clatsop Indians, Native Americans.
Yeah.
And you guys loved it because the doors were real short, and I guess people were a lot shorter in those days, and maybe the Clatsop Indians were a lot shorter in those days. And they had fires burning in all the little places, the bedrooms that they had built there. What happened?
I'm gonna go use the bathroom. Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna go use the bathroom. You can keep talking.
You're gonna what?
I'm gonna run in and use the bathroom. You can keep talking.
Oh, okay.
Show them this if you have to, or I'll just put that up there.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll be right back.
Anyway, we went to Fort Clatsop. He took us all over. He took us sightseeing the whole entire area. When Alice called the other day, I reminded her of how wonderful it was when we went up there. Herb, that night, Alice had a whole slew of slides. You know what a slide is, Oliver?
No.
You don't know what a slide is. It's a little picture that you can show on a projector onto the screen. That's what we used to take, was colored slides.
Colored?
They
what,
all
what colors?
They okay, I've got a few bags of colored slides I'll give you when we get home. You can go through them.
Well, oh, thank you.
Does your dad have a screen that he looks at pictures on? That a light box?
But a computer?
No, not a computer. This is before the days of computers.
I don't know. I'm not a...
I'll ask him. Okay. And these slides, Alice was showing them on the screen of the living room, but she didn't have them in order. So each one that came up was like a whole different century, practically. And Herb was making comments about every single one, and he had us all laughing, rolling around on the floor laughing. It was so funny. He always used to make everybody laugh. Your Grandpa Herb. Do you remember him?
I never met him.
You never met him. You really missed out on a good thing. But that's okay. You've heard lots of stories about him.
Yes.
Haven't you?
Yes.
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 Okay. Okay. I think that should be the end of our conversation. Do you have anything to say?
Well, I have one thing to say.
Well, okay. Say it.
Bye.
Okay.